Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 336, Jesus, Where'er Thy People Meet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please take your seats. Our service this morning is a service of Holy Communion, and all the words that you need and responses will be on the screen. But if you're following in our prayer book, it will begin on page 202. But just before we begin our service or our time of worship, we have one or two short notices. Just to let you know that on Tuesday, there will be episode 3 or session 3 of the Grow Conversations, where we've looked at videos that have been put out by the diocese. We've watched them. They're about 35 minutes long, and then we've had a chat, and it's been very informal, very informative. I've gotten a lot from last week's conversation on worship. Thursday at 7 p.m., we have Zoom prayer. And then next Sunday at 9 a.m., there's Holy Communion. 11 a.m., there's a service of Holy Baptism, which is always lovely. And then at 7 p.m., we have evening prayer. That, as you know, children who are baptized then go on to confirmation. And we have a rescheduled confirmation coming up soon. But also for those young people who were confirmed 2 years ago, and this new cohort, we're looking to start a young people's group of some sort, most likely on Sunday mornings alongside the service. And we're looking for volunteers, people who will be able to come alongside them in an informal way and give them space to read, to learn, to grow, and just to enjoy one another's company. If you are able to help us in some way, and if you're able to do that, would you please let me know? I've left a few of my contact cards at the back. You can lift one, or my contacts in the church magazine or online, or you can tell me. But I have a terrible memory, so make sure I write it down. But come and speak with me, because it's so important that we have something for young people going forward, specifically for them. The diocese have offered all churches, and they say that they will be able to come and do something in a church. I think that as St. Finian's, we can do something ourselves, because we're perfectly capable, and we can do things in our own way and in a particular style, which would be lovely. So I'll leave that with you. But our service, as I say, is service of Holy Communion, beginning on page 202 in our prayer books. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand, if you're able, for the Gloria. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our collect prayer for today, the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, Graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bela in Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 14.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Others said, "He is Elijah." And still others claimed, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago." But when Herod heard this, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead." for Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and asked her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's respond to both of those readings by declaring what we believe, declaring our faith, using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue in our time of worship by singing together hymn number 342, "Sweet is a Solemn Voice That Calls."
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together to worship you, to worship your Son in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats. Today we're going to think about the question, what does worship look like? And before we start, we're going to be honest from the outset and say we'll never be able to answer the question in full this side of eternity. But it's still important to think it through. To help us, we're going to look at four snapshots, four moments or mini themes, and they are entitled David, Death, and Disgust, People of Pompeii, Curate's Confession, and Schooled by the Stumble. So first, David, Death, and Disgust. The Ark of the Covenant, was made during the time of Moses, and it was kept by the Israelites as a symbol of the presence of God. It was a throne of sorts, but was never itself worshipped. One of the worst moments in their history was when the people allowed it to be captured by the Philistines. It was a humiliating episode, and our Old Testament reading today, our long Old Testament reading today with lots of complicated names, thank you, Gillian, or sorry, Gillian, but our reading today is about that moment when it was going to be brought back, the Ark of the Covenant was going to be brought back to the people. There was a huge celebration and a procession that outmatched even our own morning processions here at St. Finian's. There were soldiers, choirs, musicians, and it was headed by the king himself. All of that procession was there to march the Ark home. Joy turned to horror as the oxen pulling the cart stumbled and it looked as if the Ark would topple. Uzzah was a Levite, so that meant he was an assistant to the priests. And he was close enough to the Ark to put out his hand to touch and steady it. And he did so, and he died on the spot. That's a hard one to get our heads around. And so I'm not even going to try, just on this moment, going to move on. The procession was abandoned in shame, confusion, and outrage. The Ark was left in the care of a nearby family for some time, and then finally, with great dancing and great joy, the procession resumed, and the Ark came home. David's wife, Michal, watched the procession from a window in the city as it came in to Jerusalem, and she saw her husband, the king, lost in the moment, dancing with all of his might, singing and giving his all to God in joy. And in her eyes, he was a fool, undignified, not king-like in any way, shape, or form. She was disgusted. Let's go now to Pompeii. Pompeii is one of the Micronesian islands. It's located to the northwest of Australia and to the east of Thailand, and it has a tropical climate. This photo on the left was taken in the late 1800s, and it testifies to the climate. That it was a traditional dress in that place and time, and it gives a good clue as to what the weather's like, because it's similar to the traditional dress of so many in the world with a similar climate. Also taken around that same time is this photograph of some missionaries who went out to start a church in Pompeii. This photograph was taken in Pompeii. That's them in their new posting. These dedicated people were answering God's call in the best way they knew how. Of course, they wanted the people of Pompeii to hear and receive the good news. They wanted the people of Pompeii to become part of the worldwide worshiping body of Christ. However, it wasn't enough for the people to believe. In the minds of the missionaries, true worshippers in the body of Christ had to look a certain way. Let's move on to the next slide. You got me in profile. They said, you can't go around with no clothes on. That's not what Christians look like. You have to have a shirt, a bow tie, a waistcoat, and a jacket. Ignore the heat. And so there's something in there that shouldn't be there. But you've got this man who's dressed perfectly for the climate. But after spending some time with the missionaries and being involved in the church as a church leader, he changes his dress completely. The missionaries did what they did with the knowledge that they had at the time. But most missionary societies today acknowledge that back in the Victorian era, a little bit afterwards, quite a bit afterwards, these missionary societies found it hard to separate the gospel from Britishness. They found it hard to recognize that somebody was a Christian and didn't necessarily look like someone walking up and down a British street. It sounds strange to say it out loud now, but that was more than often the case. Let's move on. Around 15 years ago, I was worshiping in a large church across the water. The congregation were singing, and as we stood, my concentration obviously drifted and my eyes wandered. Not far from me, a mother and daughter were moving into the aisle. They were kicking off their shoes, and they were unfurling, each of them, a long ribbon. And then they started to sing and dance and whirl the ribbons about themselves, lost in the moment, praising God. I was not impressed, and I've thought about that quite a lot since. And did I hide my reaction? I don't think I did. Did I embarrass the dancers? I don't think so, because they weren't aware of me. But was I judgmental? And was I personally unpleasant? Yes, I think I was. I don't think I was good company in that moment. My behavior, looking back, wasn't good enough, and I needed to be schooled by the stumble. Today's reading has two important moments for us. One of them is a stumble. And this helps us to understand what worship can look like, what it looks like to stand before God and give our all. Uzzah had good motives. He did not want the ark to fall. He wanted to guide things along the planned route, and he wanted to make sure things stayed as they should stay. But he overreached. God needed no guidance. Uzzah died as soon as he touched the ark. David was furious, but this was God's procession. This was something God was doing. Not David, not the choir, not the army, not the musicians, and not Uzzah. This act of worship belonged to God. And this act of worship, us here this morning in St. Finian's, it belongs to God. Nobody who overreaches is going to drop dead today, I pray. But the depth, the importance of the act of worship is not made in our image. We use a liturgy, and I love using the liturgy. But we need to remember that the liturgy is the dress that we use. It guides us, but some can find it constraining in parts, and we should be honest about that. But does God bless and move within the liturgy? Of course. We see that Sunday by Sunday because God is gracious and loving. Does God bless and move within ribbon dancing? Of course, because God is gracious and loving. More gracious than me, more loving than me. Thank goodness. And along with the stumble, the reading contains a look of disgust from Micah. If I see people worshiping in another way from my own way, do I dare roll my eyes? No, I have to acknowledge that their worship is not my worship. In fact, their worship is not even their worship. It belongs to God, from God to God. I don't know if I will ever take my shoes off and step into the aisle and do a ribbon dance. Who knows? We went to, Dad watches this every Sunday, so sorry, Dad. We went to Spring Harvest years ago, and my family were quite a conservative family worship-wise. So we would just do what we do. And Mum and Dad came back from one particular meeting, and Mum said, Dad was clapping. And we said, what? Yeah, Dad was clapping. And we were teasing him for clapping in church. We're just a conservative family. But in that moment, it was great that he was just himself. And in other times of worship, it's great that we're just ourselves. Sometimes we're just ourselves and it looks quiet. Sometimes we're just ourselves and it looks like larger movement. Worship is not uniform across the globe. It's not uniform across churches. And thank goodness, thank God for that. But wherever we are, whoever we are, worship is taking what God has given us and giving it straight back to him in our entirety. And that is what we seek to do when we come together on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, on Wednesday mornings in our prayer. God has made us in full, and worship, whatever it looks like, is giving us back to God in full. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you created us in your image. And so it stands to reason that our worship of you should be something in your image and not our own. We ask that you would bless each and every type of wholehearted worship that is offered to you across this country this morning and across the globe over these 24 hours. Would you take what we as your body offer you and would you receive it in joy? And if there are times within me and times within us that we have been looking down upon or disdainful of other people's method of worship, would you forgive us as we give ourselves to you in confession? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the church, the body of Christ worldwide. We pray for Bishop David and our rector, Jonathan, with their families. And would you give them the energy they need for work and peace for rest in good measure? We bring to you our brothers and sisters in parts of the world where your children are persecuted. In those parts of the world where to stand and say the creed among fellow believers is a frightening thing to do. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship, and we ask that you allow us to use those freedoms well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, across the world, there are so many dreadful things happening. We pray for the people of Gaza who have lost family members over the last few days. Would you quell the violence and would you quell the fighting? And would you have mercy on those people? We pray for the people of Israel who have suffered hurt, suffered loss. And we give to you their outrage. But Heavenly Father, may there be peace in that region. We pray too for the people of Ukraine, who again in the last few days, they've been in buildings which have literally come down around them. Lives are lost and families are broken up because of acts of violence. Would you be with the people of Ukraine and give them the strength that they need for this time? And may your peace be on that country. And we pray for your people in Russia, your church, our brothers and sisters in Russia. We pray that they would speak out and pray in a way that would bring peace to that region. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for what's happening in America. We thank you that the assassination attempt on Donald Trump was not successful. And we thank you that he is well and his family is around him. We pray for him. We pray for Joe Biden and others who are involved in that political race. May it be a race of dignity, and may it be something that is carried out for love of service and nothing else. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this country, we pray for the Northern Ireland Assembly, for the First and Deputy First Ministers and all its members. We pray for the health of King Charles and for his family. And we pray for his new government and that we may be quietly and justly governed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need. We ask that you be close to the lonely, the refugees, the destitute, and the homeless. Put your huge resources of energy and provision into the hands of the Larder and the Salvation Army and others that serve those in need. Give them everything they need. And Heavenly Father, we know that we can bring to you those in our hearts who are hurting and lost. And in moments of quiet, we bring to you now those who are known to us who are in need of your healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, our God who loves and hears us, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue our prayers as we approach the table, as we approach the Eucharist. We pray together our prayer of humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this, to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
We sing together now our offertory hymn, hymn number 349, "Fill Thou My Life, O Lord My God."
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, we celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. And may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of all life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion, that in his saving cup we may share his glory and be made perfect in his love. For he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and those whom you love, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, is hymn number 3. It didn't go on that long. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 3. God is love, let heaven adore him.